Then he said, don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Don't wish for less problems. Wish for more skills.
I can't catch a break, guys.
Yeah.
Get them the fuck away from me. I can't be around those guys.
People think, oh, well, cleaning your room, that's just a cliche. It's like, yeah, really, eh? Just go ahead and try it.
If people had any idea how powerful sleep is for healing from anything, and the fact that it's free.
My mind is absolutely bulletproof, solid as a rock.
Podcast.
Okay, guys, so welcome to Fighting Fits Podcast, episode number 5. Today I am joined with Chris.
What's up, guys?
So Chris is just back from his trip to Canada. Brandon and Niall are not with us today. Brandon is in Dublin. He's doing his Pilates examination. And Niall is in New York going to Ed Sheeran.
Whoop, whoop.
So, Chris, how was your holiday? Long time no see.
Holiday was class. It was really, really good. Beautiful city. Great people. People in Canada are very, very friendly. Or in Toronto anyway. I did not hear anyone say, eh, or what are you talking about? Not hear that at all. They all sound like they're from California or something like that. It was weird. But it was still, everyone was very friendly. The city is beautiful, especially lit up at night. I don't know if you check out my Instagram, I have a few pictures of the city. I've won a whole album set up just for the city shots. It's pretty cool. I went to a Thai boxing class thing there. I was skateboarding there. I went up to CN Tower to see the whole city. We went to Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is... what's the word?
There are no words.
There are no words. But it would be synonymous to making you feel really small.
It really feel massive.
Yeah, it's so big. And just the power. It was a really cool thing where there was like a radius around where the falls hit the lake or whatever, the river underneath. And in this radius, as soon as you enter it, you just feel the wind and the power of it. You know, it's like super calm, but as soon as you enter it, it's just like...
Because you were out on the boat, wasn't it? For the fireworks show.
Yeah. No, we weren't on the boat for the fireworks show. We got up onto the balcony. The fireworks were amazing.
Really?
It was
next level fireworks.
Yeah. It was just... They one went like 5 minutes early before, I think, as like a tester. And then after that, like 5 minutes later, so it was unbelievable. It was like nothing like you'd see in Ireland. It was really cool.
So kind of number one highlight. So Niagara Falls is a huge highlight.
Yes.
What was the ending top Niagara Falls when you were there?
I don't know. See, we went to Toronto Zoo as well. We went to Canada Wonderland. We went to...
So what, Canada Wonderland is just like a big amusement park?
Yeah, theme park. Yeah. So they, we went on one roller coaster and it scared the bejesus out of me. So it was like, I do the same thing with sort of like, you know, boxing and stuff like that, you know, nerves or even this. It's like, I don't get nervous really building up to it. And then once you're actually, just before you do it, you're like... oh no, this actually happened. So I was sitting there, I was cool as a cucumber, getting in, sitting down, I was trying to wait, I went on the thing with Aoife, and then as soon as I started going up to the first ramp.
It's how we clink, is it clink?
Yeah, clink. And every time you'd lean back and it's at such an angle that you feel like you're almost going to fall back anyway, and you're still going up. And when you think it's going to end and stop going up, it just keeps going for like 50% more. And then you go down, and it goes down at such a steep angle. You almost think that you're going to invert.
Yeah,
go upside down. It's scary.
Biggest roller coaster you've ever been on?
Yeah. Oh yeah, and the fastest and the scariest, and it was unbelievable.
Okay, and then what was the zoo like? I've seen a couple of pictures from the zoo. That was really cool.
The zoo, I loved it. I loved the zoo.
There's a big aquarium in it too, wasn't
there? There was an aquarium in Toronto, and there was some fish and stuff like that in the zoo. The theme for the zoo wasn't just mainly fish or anything like that, but there was some really cool ones, like there was red-bellied piranhas and stuff like that in it. They were pretty cool. They were all in like a little dark thing, so the photos I got of them were pretty miffy.
You can only Google Pixel 2.
Yeah, guys, camera, best camera phone, Google Pixel 2 XL.
I'll dispute that. I'll say it's the Samsung Note 9.
iPhone.
People will say it's the iPhone XS.
Max.
Which, XS Max. But we all have our biases here.
Did you buy a Pete?
No.
Not yet.
But like, the zoo was amazing.
Anyone doesn't know Pete's the video guy. He's chilling over there.
Let's go, Pete.
Hey.
We love you.
Thanks.
So yeah, Canada was class. The zoo was awesome. What was my favorite animal there at the zoo? There was one
spider. Larry the spider.
Oh, there was spiders. Yes. I have some weird. I went to the museum and went to a spider exhibit. And that was unbelievable.
Okay, and this, that's weird.
So it was a whole, like, it was set up there just for a short period of time. And I went in there and, like, Do you ever get like goosebumps or something like that, where like, do you know if you have a spider in your hand and it'll crawl past a certain point and then you just shake it off, you spasm or something like that? Well, it was like that, like every 10 seconds in that room.
Oh, no, yeah.
It was so like...
We were actually in the room with spiders.
Oh, no, no, no. I was, well, yes, but they were boxed off and stuff. Oh,
okay, okay.
Do you get me?
Yeah, okay.
But they had loads of cool statues and stuff like that, on, like on the roof, of like spiders, you know, crawling along the roof, but massive. And then like ones on the wall and stuff like that. And then there was a cool like holographic floor where if you step on it, do you know, like spiders will start crawling in towards you. Do you know, like, do you ever see the mummy and scarab beetles?
Yeah, okay,
and they crawl along the floor and they come in like that there, but then as soon as you step to it, they'll like disperse. It's pretty cool. They were using the Kinect 2 or something like that to do all that stuff. It was pretty cool. They had a little piece on their technology.
What's that, the Xbox Kinect?
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to track your motion and stuff like that?
That's pretty cool.
It was very cool.
And in Thai boxing class, what was that like?
It was intense.
What was it, an hour and a half?
It was 2 hours, I think.
2 hours?
2 hours, yeah. I went there, I was looking to just spar, but they were kind of iffy about it, because they didn't trust me. They thought I could have been like some guy just coming off the street with an ego, you know, trying to get into fights or whatever.
Okay.
But, I was talking with your man, he seemed like just really reserved about his fighters and stuff, so I didn't end up not getting the spar, but I did the class, and the class was really, really tough. It started off just continuous, every 30 seconds, just changing exercises. And doing high head scissors. I started off because I'm a trainer, Joe, my ego, just like busting it, killing myself at the very start, and I just kept going and going and going, and I ended up like busting myself in the first like 20 minutes, and then it went on for ages, and I was doing pad work with one guy who was actually really good. At first he seemed like he was a bit disappointed that Joe got a newbie, but then once he seen that I had some experience over that, he was actually like, oh, happy days. So we worked very well together. What was his name? I think his name was Robert.
Oh, were you just doing focus on boxing, or you're doing everything?
No, we're doing everything, Thai boxing as well. My hip flexor is in bits. I was kicking a bit of my hip flexor because I got fatigued, but I used my hip flexor to get the kick, and we ended up doing this thing called a pyramid, where it's like you start off, you throw one kick left, one kick right, then two kicks left, two kicks right, three kicks left, three kicks right, four kicks, all the way up to five, and then back down.
Back down, okay.
And it's just... And they're full power kicks as well. It's like if you get tired and you can't throw full power, rest for a second and go full power again. When you have to put out max effort over and over and over again with kicks, it's just... And then on top of that, I haven't been Thai boxing in years, so my shins are in bits as well. So.
And then did you do any other training? Were you keeping up with training when you were over there?
Yeah, so what happened...
As much done as you planned. I know you wanted to go do a couple of runs, this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I went one 5K. It was like 5.something K. That was pretty cool. Running around.
Just around the city.
Yeah, that was awesome. Just exploring the city that way. And... I went, the first place I went down, there's an Irish park in Toronto, and it's down by like the harbour. That was pretty cool.
What's an Irish park?
It's the I think it's called the Irish Park or the Ireland Park, but basically it commemorates all the Irish people that came over or emigrated. But do you know the statues in Dublin of the famine?
Yeah.
Well, there was like four or five statues like mimicking those ones there, which I thought was awesome. I seen them, I was like, they're in Ireland.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then when I read it, I was like, I have a little picture on my Instagram as well if they want to check that out. But I ran around there and then ran up by the harbour. There was a few parks, and there was a cool little gym park in there for calisthenics and stuff like that.
Okay, cool.
So I did a few pull-ups. There was one guy there, he was doing loads of mad stuff, so I ran away from him. I did 10 pull-ups and then ran, and just, I was like, I don't want him to show me up. And so I just kept, I didn't want to stop my run too. And then I went by this thing, I forget the name of the gym, but I thought it was a boxing club. And it was like Hit Max or something like that there. But it was basically like a boot camp sort of style thing, and I was more looking to spar. So after that, I asked them if they knew any other ones, and that's how I found out about the Thai boxing place after I did my little...
Cool. So you didn't manage to get any spars?
No, I didn't get any sparring done. But there was a cool gym downstairs in the apartment we were living in. We were living in 21 Iceboat Terrace. It was pretty cool. The gym there, it's minimal, but... effective, like it has everything. It doesn't have a bar, which I love. When I'm training, I love deadlifts, I love squats, and I love bench press. I like doing it with a barbell, but it wasn't that there, so I may do just
didn't have any barbells.
No,
no squat racks.
No, bench. But they had a leg press machine. They had did like four or five ellipticals. They had four or five treadmills. They had stair steppers. They had a chest fly machine. They had a row machine. They had a
lat pull down
machine. You could get a full workout in there, but I mainly stuck with the dumbbells. And dumbbells going from like 6 pounds all the way up to 100 pounds. Mm. So I was buzzing with that. Got a good pump there. I was training every day for the first 7 days or 6 days.
How many or 10 days?
No, I was there for 2 weeks.
Followed through for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I trained for the first few days every day, and I was buzzing with myself. And then after that, I went skateboarding. I met this guy, Zach. Zach was cool as anything. But I made friends with him at the skate park because I bought a cool skateboard because it had Vegeta on it. I love Dragon Ball Z ever since I was a little kid. Vegeta was my favorite character in it. I saw that and I was like, I'll buy it. And I skateboarded when I was like 13 as well. So,
did you pick it back up?
Yeah, I picked back up. When I met Zach, Zach's actually a skate coach as well. So he taught me, he improved my ollie, taught me how to go on a half pipe. He taught me how to fakie out, or what do you call it? I forget the name of it, basically fakie out of a little ramp. So you jump up, you put the trucks over the edge of the ramp, lock it there, and then kick it up and go back down the ramp.
Okay.
I couldn't do it in a half pipe, but I could do it on a little vert ramp. That was pretty cool. In Canada, I tried skateboarding here. When I got back, the roads are just, it's not fit for it. No. So
Squad roads are just really smooth over there, is it?
Yeah, well, loads of people skate in Canada. Loads of people skate to and from wherever they're going. So I was skateboarding, like with Karen and Aoife, they weren't skateboarding, but like anytime we were walking around with that, I'd throw a skateboard and just skate around the place because it's so smooth. The ground there is just made for skating.
Okay, well, that's cool.
I don't know what it's made for, but
it complements it.
Yeah, very, very well. And then there's loads of skate parks. The standard of skateboarding there is insane.
Really, yeah?
Yeah. It's like, the way I would have thought about it is that, like, Joey, we're pretty good at boxing here. It was like, it's a similar sort of thing. Like, the guys there were as good at skateboarding as say as we were boxing. Do you get me? It was like, they're on the half pipe, doing loads of mad tricks and all that. They play skate a lot, not the PlayStation game, but where, like, they do a trick, and then your person has to do the same trick.
That's like almost like a dance over.
Exactly, but with skateboards. So, and the tricks they were doing, it was crazy. Like, your man Zach, he really likes old school sort of flatland skating, where he was doing loads of like finger flips and no complies and stuff like that, where like you plant one foot down, pick the board up, just spin it around, jump, put the board under his feet, and then just go away. Like, it was mental stuff that he was doing. I was sitting there just like in awe the whole time. Then he brought us to another skate park, went on a wee cycle as well. He showed us around outside the city.
Yeah, I seen that picture on Instagram, Aoife on the bike.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Under the bridge.
Yeah.
It looked pure, like
California or something like that. So we went skateboarding. The aquarium was awesome as well. There was loads of cool stuff there. All I kept thinking of when I seen the lobsters was Jordan Peterson. Every single time I just seen a lobster, I was like, I need a text brand in this or something. Because it was one king lobster, and like he was literally bigger than all the other ones, like standing up. It was mental.
That's cool.
What else was there?
I think there are highlights.
I think that's it. Let me see.
Any good food places?
Oh, yes. So there's this thing called poutine. Yeah, poutine. It sounds really weird, but it's like the equivalent of like fish and chips. Do you know, it's like just a staple in Canada. It's just chips, gravy, cheese curds, which sounds rotten, but it's actually lovely. And then they have like bacon and chives.
I heard this before. I think they had like a van at Hill and Back selling this stuff one time.
Yeah, well, poutine is lovely.
I remember somebody who'd been in Canada or somebody or somewhere or something was like, oh, I love this stuff.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, probably. But poutine is absolutely.
So gravy was basically gravy, chip and cheese.
Yeah, basically. But and bacon and all this other stuff and sour cream and stuff like that as well.
Lovely.
It's lovely. Yeah, what are our food? Here we go. They do sports bars there, like to 9.
What do you mean sports bar?
So like a sports bar slash restaurant.
Just like a big pub with a big TV.
Well, not just one TV. Like a TV at every single
boot.
Yeah, at every single boot. And it's like if you want them to change the channel, just call them over to change the channel, whatever you want. So the night of the Darren Till Tyrone Woodley fight. We were sitting watching the prelims while we were having dinner, and I was just loving life. Yeah, I was watching the fights, and then we were about to leave, and I ended up like annoying him. Just stay just for this last fight. And I watched it, and I picked who was going to win. I was like, this guy's outclassing this guy. You can just see it.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's going to knock him out in the first round. And I was like, just wait to see this knockout. And it turned out he didn't knock him out in the first round. Your man was game as anything. I could tell he was going to lose.
Was this
downhill? No. This is before. Prelim. Yeah, this is the prelims. I forget who was fighting, but the guy who was losing started getting all up in his ego and was like, yeah, come on, fight now. Do you get me like that? And I was like, oh, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And then the next round, he got knocked out with a beautiful head kick.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you watch Canelo Triple G?
Yes. I watched that on my, can I say it? Go phone.
Yeah.
I streamed it.
You watched it legally.
I went to a few bars, actually, to try and find it, but it was supposed to be stupidly expensive for a bar to show it in Canada.
Because it was pay-per-view.
Yeah, so no one was doing it. And the closest sports
was the, bar. Was the Woodley Till fight on pay-per-view as well?
It was. But I
supposedly actually
I legally watched that as well on my phone.
Oh, that wasn't actually in the bar.
No. So that was later on at night. That was at like 12 o'clock or Yeah, I think it was around 11 or 12 at night that fight was on.
You know, because I actually have heard that like Ireland, UK compared to America is like really way cheaper compared to America for pay-per-views. Like settings like $7,500.
Well, when I went to get
we get it for maybe €25.
When I went to pay for the Darren Till Tyrone Woodley fight, that was $79 for the pay-per-view. And I was like, I don't know if I want to pay this. Yeah. Plus it was on like a smart TV app that I didn't really trust.
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah,
I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. I would have.
And what would you think of the fight, Triple G Canelo?
Oh, I was like, I thought, so let's talk about the first fight first. Mm. Who won the first fight?
Be honest. I don't know. I thought it was a close fight. I thought Canelo won.
Me too. That's a controversial opinion.
I know.
Everyone I talk to says Triple G. I don't see it. I
just think Canelo, it's like his style. He just boxes better. He's much better to watch.
He was slick. Yeah. He was slick. That's the best
thing. His counter punches were lovely. He was slipping nice. Coming back over the top.
And
his variety of punching was better. Body bringing up
angles.
The
footwork. Ring control. He was on the back foot, but he controlled where the fight took place, and he controlled the engagements. Was it one of the cool things that I heard them saying in the second fight was that Canelo controlled the story of the fight, and I think he did the same in the first fight. It was just he controlled the story. We wanted to move. We wanted to be flashy, and he wanted to outbox a fighter, and he didn't get the win because of that. And then in this fight, he goes, "I'm taking it to him."
Yeah.
He stepped right to him, and he fought him. Do you get me? He stood in front of him and he got the counters, he got the engagement. But in saying that, Triple G
is a beast.
He's an animal, and he like, I was watching some of the exchanges and it was like Triple G would land a jab, Canelo would land an overhand, Triple G would land a lead hook, and then Canelo would land an uppercut. Do you get me? And it's like, who wins the exchange?
Exactly.
Who wins the exchange?
Punch for punch. Yeah. So that's why tight fights like that, it's very easy to go right away. I feel a lot of it just comes down to personal preference. What kind of style of boxing do you like?
Mm.
You know what I mean? And even inside, I tried to stay up for the second one, but I fell asleep in the second round. That's the killer about pay per view over here. Like, it's not, like, I think it was like 5 a.m. or something.
Yeah,
I was struggling.
It was just
through
12 o'clock here.
I was trying, but I haven't seen the full fight since. So, but it'd be interesting if you watched it with a pen and paper and actually scored each round rather than kind
of. Well, one of the things they scored it the way they were scoring it. In my head, I had Canelo winning like round one, round two. I can't remember round three. I think he lost round three, but then he won round four, round five, and then round six. But the guy who Joe does his estimation of what the judges are going to do, he had, and I was in disbelief for this.
Jim Lampley or something.
I don't even know his name. But he had the score, Canelo, Triple G, Triple G, Triple G, Triple G, Triple G. And I was like, are you watching the same fight here?
Yeah.
So perspective is a weird thing. So you can watch the same thing and people come back with two completely different outcomes. I suppose it depends what you're looking for, like what style you prefer. But one of the things that I really liked about that fight was that they gave out about Canelo Joe dancing around and not engaging enough or whatever, and in this fight he was like,
so Tony Tony still complain.
Yeah,
because I think it's because he is the golden boy of boxing, you know.
Yeah.
People feel like there's a lot of money behind him, and people love conspiracy theories, you know.
People hate a winner. Hate a winner.
Yeah.
But in saying that, like, Triple G's a winner as well.
Yeah.
So I don't want either of them to lose because I have such respect for both fighters. But
yeah, actually, I think I might actually watch that fight tonight before that Anthony Joshua fight. I think I might get that in tonight.
Ooh, fine. I'll watch it with you. Go.
So it's Anthony Joshua versus Povetkin. I think Povetkin is, you know, one
the
of the
man
most,
to beat him.
Well, I don't know if he's the man to beat him, but he's like one of the most avoided men in heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, I never really heard of him before this fight.
Yeah, no, he's just a really, really good. I'm nearly sure he's either Russian or Ukraine. I'm nearly sure he's Russian. Eastern European, anyway. Really good standard of boxing from over there, and he's just a very, very good boxer.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But I think is one of these things where they kind of just waited long enough. I think he might just be, you know, just over the hill a little bit now. That's what I'm saying. Just wait, drag these things out.
Well, see, that's the thing with fight. Like, what, I was just going to bring up Conor McGregor and Khabib. Okay, a lot of people now, because we're Irish and all that, we're on the Conor McGregor bandwagon. Like, and McGregor's disrespecting Khabib so much.
He was had to be drunk, was he? He was drunk. He was drinking the whiskey, wasn't he?
I think he was. I did. Well, just from the outburst and all that jazz. But what
was he? Your dad's a shite bag or something? Or does anybody smell a shite off your dad? what is he talking about?
What was it? Oh, Catagum, Duggery, and Lehris Air on Bus.
Oh, my God.
Like, but my point was, I don't want to see either of them lose, but I want to see them fight.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'll follow Khabib for a while. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love MMA, absolutely love it. And Khabib is a phenomenal fighter. His striking is good. He hits hard, but he does leave his chin up in the air.
He leaves his eye. Because I'm not a huge follower of MMA, but I've got on YouTube. I was looking up some highlights of Khabib just kind of see what he's like, and he seems to leave himself very exposed when he's trying to get that takedown. Yeah. Like his chin's in the air.
Yeah.
And I can just see McGregor stepping back and bring that left hand over the top.
Yeah, that's exactly what I see happening.
Yeah.
But insane.
But
that,
if he gets him, and it's gonna go to the ground at some point.
Yeah. But insane, like. Here's the thing with McGregor, and I've heard Chael Sonnen talking about this as well. And McGregor, I think McGregor might be one of the most underrated fighters in the UFC.
You think so?
I think he might be one of the, even though he's up there, yeah. I think he still might be underrated. It's like, fair enough, he lost to Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is actually fairly underrated as well. But if you look at the caliber of fighters that McGregor has fought before he got his title shot, so let's say Dustin Poirier, Max Holloway, like, everyone thought he was getting the silver spoon, basically.
Yeah.
And it was like, he wasn't getting nobody's.
But now it turns out that them boys are actually somebody.
They're killers. Exactly. Yeah. Like, Max Holloway is featherweight champion and beat Jose Aldo twice.
Yeah.
Do you get me? Like, he beat Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo was a decorated champion, 10 years unbeaten. Max Holloway beat him twice. McGregor beat Max Holloway with a torn ACL.
Yeah.
It was like, how does he do that? And then Dustin Poirier is now going to be fighting Nate Diaz. He just knocked out Eddie Alvarez. Like, it's the standard of fighter that McGregor's been fighting. He made them look like nobody's. Fair enough, like Dennis Eber is not that good and all that jazz. But I think McGregor is insane. I think his ground game is underestimated as well.
He was huge at featherweight.
Yeah, he was huge.
And he's very unpredictable. Very hard to plan for, because you don't know what he's going to throw at you, really.
Yeah, it's about, like, one of the things that everyone says, it's his boxing. It's like, have you seen the kicks he throws?
Yeah.
He throws wheel kicks. He throws tornado kicks. He throws everything, front kicks. The front kick that he landed against Chad Mendes and put him up against the cage before he knocked him out was one of the most vicious front kicks I've ever seen. It's like he pulled his toes back and the ball of his foot just went right in on his ribs. Yeah. And it could have hit his liver, I'm not sure. But when he landed on Chad Mendes, I was like, this fight's done.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, his kicks. McGregor kicks like a really high level taekwondo. Mm.
So what is your prediction for McGregor Khabib?
Oh, honestly, like, I don't know. Every time I call it, I get it wrong, which is annoying, but like, I really do. I remember I called it. I have a really funny memory of when McGregor was fighting Aldo, and in the build up and the hype, and everyone was on the McGregor bandwagon again. And this is the one time I counted McGregor out. I was like, I posted this thing on Facebook. If you look back to 2014, I think it is, on my page, you'll see, all right, guys, let's get realistic. This is the animal that McGregor is fighting. And I put up a highlight video of Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
And then. The fight started 13 seconds later. Yeah, I just say my words. It was like he knocked him out. Like, I just think that's mental. Yeah. Like, the fight game's so unpredictable, and MMA math doesn't work. Do you get me? Just because this person beats this person doesn't mean they'll be. It's like, because it's so
styles
complicated.
Make fights.
Yeah, it's like rock, paper, scissors times a million. Do you get me? So I can't pick, but let's say going out on a whim, and my heart, McGregor's going to knock him out in the first round.
You think so, first round?
Yeah, Khabib's going to plow forward, go for the takedown. And I think McGregor's going to land that lethal left. There we go. I've said it, guys. If it happens tomorrow and you put money on it, I want something.
No, it's not tomorrow. So, like, what is it? It's like 2-3. It's not that far away now. 2-3.
The 5th of October. Or the 6th of October.
It's not far. What are we now? 20 seconds shooting this? Yeah. Who do I think is going to win? I think maybe the fame could be, or I don't know, the power, or the just the. Just the celebrity of McGregor now, I think, just the way he's carrying on, I don't know, I think he's not as focused in the game as he was. I think Khabib could be the one. I think it's going to be a 5-round fight. I think it'll go late, and I think you might get ground and pounded out. I can just see it, just see his face. Remember, was it the Diaz tap him out?
Yeah.
I can just see his face just lying on the ground, bloody, just getting elbowed in the face.
I can see that too. That's why I didn't want to call it. I just, my heart breaks with that image in my head. I can just see, if you've watched a Khabib fight, what's his name? Edson Barboza or Michael Johnson. Yeah, if you watch them fights, it's like Khabib doesn't just beat you. Do you get me?
He'll pin you down, punch you for as long as he can.
Yeah, like he will beat you down. Like, if you look at the face of Edson Barboza, like, as he's like on the ground, pinned up against the cage, he's looking up at the clock, and you can just see, like, he's like, when is this going to end?
Yeah.
And this man is like a world champion Thai boxer.
Yeah.
Get me? Like, toughest of the tough.
Yeah.
He was used to getting elbows and bloody knees to the head. Like,
on
top of that, he's a super high level striker who couldn't knock him out on the way in for the takedown.
Yeah.
Get me? And he mauls him. Like, if you ever want to be impressed by Khabib, just look up Khabib wrestles a bear. And it's him. It's Khabib when he was a kid. He's a kid and he's wrestling a kid bear, a cub. Do you get me? But the cub is bigger than Khabib, and he's getting takedowns on the bear, and the bear's getting takedowns on him. I'm not even
on
joking.
A genuine bear,
a real bear. Now I think it might be joy in Russia to do like dancing bears or stuff like that. It might have its teeth taken out, but I could see claws. I could see the claws. I was like, how is he not getting killed? And
no,
at points, like, the bear's biting his shoulder and trying to pull on his jacket, trying to maneuver Khabib and all that. But he's literally wrestling a bear. And not only that, it's an extended video. It's not just like a 30-second clip. He's like, you can see him wrestling and going for legs and stuff like that there as well. Like,
that is nuts.
Khabib is a serious, serious man. Like, a serious killer. And McGregor is a serious man too, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the UFC's just brought the whole fight game to another level.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I remember, do you remember watching it, the early sort of UFC, and sort of getting that sickening feeling or something, like how violent it is?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just love that. I don't know why. I just love it.
I don't know. I'd say at the same time, part of me just is like, I just hate to see a man go down
and then get hit.
I just, so somebody's down, he's practically out on the way down, and then somebody comes down and tops him with an elbow. Like, this is stuff that, like, you know, ruins somebody's life.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
Who actually does that? There's a really, from the first Ultimate Fighter, one of the fighters, I think it's Josh Koscheck, and this guy Chris something, I forget the
guy's
name.
Chris Weidman or something like that.
No, not Chris Weidman. This is like way earlier before that. So Josh Koscheck and a fighter called Chris, Chris something, I forget it, but if you Google that, you'll see Josh Koscheck knocks him out, okay, and then he goes to the ground, and he's unconscious on the ground, literally unconscious, and then he jumps down on top of him with like a Superman punch, lands that, plants his position, and lands like six more shots on an unconscious man, and you're just like,
that's
how you get brain damage.
That's bad refereeing.
I agree. But at the same time, I've seen a fight where a guy has been hit in the chin, he's fallen back, your man's come in and he's thrown an elbow and knocked the other guy out, or an up kick. If you ever look at Anderson Silva, knock someone out. This is in Pride, I think it's Pride, where Anderson Silva is on his back, and he's in full, your man's in full guard. Anderson Silva pulls his leg back and smacks him on the chin with his heel and knocks him out from his back.
Yeah.
The other day, who was it? He was fighting on the same card as Till as well. This guy, and I think he won his fight. He knocked out your man. He was on his back and he put his shin under your man's chin and his foot behind his head so he couldn't move his head. And he was on his back and just hammer fisted and knocked him out. It's like going to the ground can be advantageous, and fair enough, like, you don't want to see people get knocked out or hit when they're unconscious, but like, that's part of the risk of the game. Do you get me? It's like, and the game still continues. That's why I like MMA, because it's like, you go to the ground in a street fight, no one's like, oh, shut them back up there, lads. Do you get me?
Yeah, but I feel like in, I don't know, like prize fighting. That's why I like Queensbury rules. So like, man goes down, give him 10 seconds to get back up.
Yeah.
I just hate to see people get absolutely destroyed on the ground.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's not even that. It's like, you feel bad because, like, I just know from kind of fighting and stuff that, you know, like, it's the referee's job almost to protect people from their own ego.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, he should tap out, but he's not gonna.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course not. Well, one of the things that I learned from jiu-jitsu is that it's like, it's tap, snap, or nap. Do you get me? It's like, if you're in pain, if you're in pain because someone's like pinning you down or something like that, like, it's not an excuse to tap. It's like, pain is almost irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's like the reason you tap out, unless it's like a bicep slicer, because that's super painful, or a calf slicer or something like that. It's like, unless you're like, if you're in pain, but there's no risk of serious damage happening later on, or you're not going to pass out, it's like, you don't tap.
Yeah.
Like, one of the best examples is Neon Belly. So like, Neon Belly, if anyone knows jiu-jitsu, is like, if the guy's heavier than you, it's one of the most painful things that you can have, like, because they just put their knee on your floating rib and put all the way in, or even on the center of your chest, and you can just feel your rib cage like caving in. But if you tense your stomach really hard, you can grit and bear through it. Do you mean, like, that's, people tap to that sometimes, you know, the beginners, because they don't really, it's like, pain is not an excuse. If your bone's gonna break, you can tap. If you're gonna pass out, you can tap. Or if, like, you know, a risk of injury or something like that, or your shoulder, but it's like, again, tap early, tap often, like, if something's gonna break. Do you mean? But pain,
just gotta get used to it.
Yeah, that's the mentality you have to have when you're going into a fight. It's like, if you go in and you're uncomfortable and you're not used to being uncomfortable, the other guy is just gonna walk over you.
That's where the sparring comes in.
Yeah.
But the BJJ seems to be blowing up in Ireland, especially.
Yeah, the scene's unbelievable. Like, Ireland's become one of the best places in the world for, well, I wouldn't say one of the best, but it's really, really coming up. Yeah, especially with Ian McGregor and all that jazz.
Yeah.
Team Tars is doing really, really well up in Newry and in Dundalk as well.
It's pretty cool. Big things to come.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody, any kind of standouts, any local guys, anything like that?
Andrew McGann. He's a G. He's an absolute gangster.
Is he kind of one of the best guys locally?
Well, he's a purple belt. And
what's after purple belt?
So the grading system for jiu-jitsu goes white, blue, purple, brown, black. Okay, so he is to get his brown belt and then his black belt. But in saying, like, the way I'd like to say it is, like, there's people who don't do jiu-jitsu and then there's people who do jiu-jitsu. Do you get me? And it's like, if you do jiu-jitsu and you're a white belt, like, someone off the street, if they're bigger than you and stronger than you, they'll probably tap you out. Do you get me? They're probably, like, wrestling out, beat you like that. If they're a blue belt, it starts, the chance of the random guy, even if he's bigger or stronger, of winning changes dramatically. Like, the blue belt is more than likely going to win, but not always. And then if you get a purple belt, it's like Andrew McGann. Like, I would definitely be stronger than Andrew. But I remember I rolled with him, and he just wrapped me up like a bloody pretzel. Yeah. You get me? I remember, like, and his inversions and stuff like that. Like, he's doing all this stuff that you just don't even know what he's doing. Do you get me? And you don't even know how to stop it or what to even do to try and stop it. He's insane. And I have great respect for Andrew. He's a cool dude.
Cool. Yeah, man. So next one, basically what you missed out on when you were away was the white collar.
Yeah.
So basically we're week 5 right now, so you haven't really missed anything too exciting. We started kind of body sparring stuff this week, kind of getting the guys used to kind of, you know, getting used to a little bit of pain, kind of starting to, you know, getting
blocked properly, hit hard.
Exactly. Getting used to kind of getting hit in the body.
Anyone standing out?
Anyone standing out? There's a couple of standouts. A couple of guys.
Oh, it's hard.
Just in case anyone's listening, because one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to build a fear factor in anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you haven't started sparring yet, so it's hard to really know, because, you know, the bags don't hit back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But there's a couple of guys, their technique is pretty
good. Yeah, last year we've seen a few people who were killers on the bags, and then when it came to sparring, it's like they didn't have that
killer instinct.
Yeah. But it's like, if they could develop that to be killers.
Yeah. Yeah. Monday we're starting light sparring, we'll build it up over the week. But it's looking pretty cool. It's looking pretty good. It's gonna be a good show.
Any cool matchups? I know you can't say, but, like, have you spotted any yet?
Oh, there's definitely going to be at least, I think they're all going to be pretty good matchups. I think there's some in there for everybody. That will, you know, that will bring everyone to their limit. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But just enough, because I'm 100% sure what way the numbers will be come towards the end. Because even already,
is anyone dropping out?
A couple of injuries and stuff like that already. I think we've got maybe 2 dropouts for genuine reasons. And there probably will be a couple more, obviously, then before the end. It's particularly once we start
the heavy spawn,
you know. Yeah. Well, obviously not heavy yet, but, like, you know, light spawn, and we build on it. There's going to be a couple of really good fights.
Tell you what, I have a question for you. All right, what do you think about the practicality of shoulders, knees versus, let's say, a touch sparring in terms of building up new fighters?
I love shoulders. I love shoulders, knees as a, because it really trains you to value speed and dexterity and reactions first. Which I like, rather than kind of body sparring is kind of more ego-centric, and you're trying to fucking hit them harder and trying to land a little bit more, you know, whereas this all about, you know, you're trying to be a little bit slicker, a little bit cuter.
That's
nice and on your toes.
Absolutely. That's one of the things I noticed, because we used to not do shoulders knees. That's a relatively new thing.
Yeah.
Like, we used to not do that at all. And since I started doing shoulders knees, I've noticed my footwork's gotten better, my speed, I like to call it programming. Do you know, like, where you set people up for stuff.
Yeah.
So you can learn how to feint. You can learn, like, before, like, I used to not faint at all. My style would have been hands high, walk forward, a little bit of head movement, and try and close the distance.
Yeah, whereas now, close and land the bombs.
Yeah, exactly, and throw the big shots. Mm-hmm. And now, like, my style has changed to be more, like, light my feet and try and move in and out. Put an aggressive counterpuncher. You know, like, put myself in the position where you lead them into an attack. If they're not going to attack, jump.
Exactly, yeah.
It provoked them to attack. But it's like, I think shoulders knees is deadly. Let's say the body sparring. One thing, though, that I would criticize the shoulders knees for is reaching for the knees. I think it should be something like
hips,
yeah. Like, but in saying that, like, when you exaggerate the movement to the body, I do notice that I can punch the body a lot faster.
Yeah, that's like that. I find like, if you over exaggerate things in training, they kind of naturally kind of
rein themselves in.
Exactly. It's the same thing, like, you know, even with your hands, like, you know, when you're training, hold your hands really, like, even just that an inch higher than you normally would, and then when you're a little bit fatigued,
those who can't see and are listening, Steven's holding his hands up above his temples.
Yeah, and then just
way above his temples.
They'll naturally kind of rest in your cheekbones and kind of in a fight. But obviously then, if you're playing shoulders, knees, you know, you got, because it's on the waist, and you got the increased chance of, like, people hitting each other low, and
nothing worse than a low blow.
Yeah. We got a low blow the other night. I think I got Niall. me and Niall were shoulder knees, and I went for knee, but he deflected and boom, right in the crown jewels.
What would you say to anyone who's like if they're one of the white collar guys is listening and like they're mad after boxing, they really, really want to get good. What would you say to them? Like, let's say they're a little bit older, like they're not like amateur boxing is a bit past them, but like even if it's not, but what would you say to them? Like they're just they love boxing
and they want to compete.
They want to compete, they want to fight, they just want to live boxing. Do you get me? What would you say to them in terms of advice or a mental attitude to have towards boxing or fighting in general?
I'd say do it. I'd say if you really want to do it that bad, do it.
They already want to do it. Do you get me? And their step is white collar.
Yeah, you get me? I'd say first step's white collar, and after that go for the novices. If you're really into it. You're not white collar, then join a club proper.
Mm.
You know, because if you're only in white collar, you don't know if you really like it yet. Because you haven't fought anyone really good.
Yeah, that's it. What do you think of losing? Here's a cool thing. Before I left for Canada, I seen this thing of the Strabanan animal. I think that's his name. One thing. He's an MMA fighter, and he fought. He's one of Conor McGregor's campmates or whatever, and he fought and he was acting like McGregor, you know, hands up and all before the fight. He walked right up to your man and was staring straight in his face.
I think I watched a YouTube video recently as well. It was like a cocky MMA fighter gets owned or something.
Yeah, and like he was as arrogant as anything in the fight, and again I could tell he wasn't being true to himself.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like he was being sincere in his attempt to act the big guy. Do you get me? Yeah. And it was working in terms of like him showing like he was the big man, like he was loving the chaos of the situation. But then he got like lead sidekick like right in the jaw, and it was a brutal knockout. But after it, when he lost, he had this interview with Ariel Helwani, and it just showed like how to take a loss, because that's one thing I struggled with. Like I'm sure you've done the same, Joe. You've trained from ages and ages and ages, like hours upon hours, getting up early, going for runs and all that jazz, and then you lose like your first fight in the competition, and that's it, your season is over.
Yeah.
If for anyone who doesn't know, in Irish amateur boxing we have like a season coming up towards the end of the year, and then you have your Leinster's first, or even your Louds. That's actually before the summer, isn't it, the Louds?
It'll be Louds, Leinster's, then you're talking seniors, elites.
But if you lose...
It's all over now, like a 4 or 5 month period. Unless you win and then you're talking. Then you get to go on throughout the summer. Then you go to like maybe, you know, international competitions.
Yes. But if you lose in the Leinsters, that's your run done.
Cut.
You're cut. There's no more competitions for you. You get club shows. And that's it. And or you get shows for... If you get picked for, let's say, the Jodel Loud team or something like that. But one of the things that I've struggled with anyway for my whole box career is like the build-up. You train so hard. It means so much. Like... So you tell your friends you're a boxer, especially when you're a kid, you know, you're a boxer, you're a crystal boxer. You know, it's like, oh, I have a fight this weekend. It's like, oh, how'd you do? It's like, then you come back, I lost.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the hardest things to do. But after seeing this guy, this Strabanan Animal, I forget his actual name, but his Instagram, Strabanan Animal, go look it up, he's a cool dude. He took that loss just...
I wonder if it's the same guy that I seen.
I'd say it more than likely is, because I remember seeing a similar video, cocky fighter gets knocked out as well. But he talks on Ariel Helwani's show, and he's
what did he say?
Basically, he's like, I've got the mindset of a winner. Fair enough, I lost this fight, but I know I'm going to be a world champion. I'm going to take this loss in chin. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to move on from it. It's like, yes, I went out there I went out there for war, and I came out with my shield. It's like anyone else. Do you get me? That's what happens in a fight. Do you get me? When you go in, it's a thing for the white collar guys to even understand as well. It's like when you're going into a fight, it's like you are risking your pride. Like there's nothing more competitive than two people going and trying to beat each other physically. It's like the ultimate dominance dispute. It's like, and especially if you're chatting all that crap, all the shit, like the shit talk, it's like the pressure builds and mounts and mounts. And then after all that talk, then you get knocked out in dramatic fashion. You get beat, not only like by decision where you can say it was a close fight, but like you get devastated.
Yeah.
It's like, you need to go back to the drawing board. Do you get me? It's like, Jordan Peterson, this thing, with Jordan Peterson, the lobsters, when a lobster loses a fight, okay, it changes, its brain literally dissolves and has to grow a new brain to learn how to develop as someone who's lower on the dominance hierarchy. And it's like, and that's like that feeling, our brain doesn't literally dissolve, but we diverged from lobsters like millions and millions of years ago. And it's like that same, like we feel when there's a change in the dominance hierarchy. So let's say like there's a fight, you are the best in the world, and then some up and comer kicks your ass. Let's say Jose Aldo was a perfect example. Yeah. You know, he was on top of the world, and then all this shit talk from someone, and then they knock him out. Jose Aldo turned into a puppy. Do you get me? It's like no one cares about him anymore, and like that. And it's like he has to reevaluate his whole life on this new level. It's like that's the risk or the pressure you feel when you're a fighter. Would you agree?
Yeah, 110%. I feel like that's one of the main things that the white collar guys are going to have to deal with, kind of come up with the finance. It's like, you
gotta, not everyone's going
to
win.
Yeah, not at least half, 50% are going to lose. Yeah. You know? But it's about being content with that. And it's all about how you frame it, how you communicate the win or loss to yourself. It's
yeah.
Like, for me, it's like, even when I was competing, I was always in the best shape I was ever in. You know what I'm saying? So I won anyway. You know what I'm saying? My discipline was better than it's ever been. You know, my fitness is better. You know, I was leaner than I've ever been. All these things. So all these things are still positives.
Yes.
And yes, you don't get the victory. And yes, you know, there is a little bit of a...
You have to tell everyone you lost. That's the worst part.
The worst part is because most people who aren't involved in boxing...
They don't understand.
It's like, if you tell me you lost, I'd be more interested in, oh, how did you perform?
Yes.
How did you get on? Oh, you know, I don't really care, but because I know I've been there, I've lost, and maybe sometimes you should have won. It was a very close fight, you know what I mean? Or you always get people, they come home and it's like, I heard you going, oh, I was robbed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But
a lot of times they actually genuinely are.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
But then people who aren't involved would think, oh, you're just making excuses.
Yeah,
whatever.
And that's that's the worst thing. Like, anytime I've had a fight and I've lost and I say I was robbed, or even Brandon fought your man Falloon there last year. And killed him.
Yeah.
Not really, he convincingly killed him, but it was your man's club show and they gave it to your man because it went to 3 rounds. Brandon couldn't stop him. But it went to him and Brandon had to go back and tell everyone he lost.
Yeah.
And
even though he literally
he beat the crap out of this guy. He beat him down.
He'd done everything except
yeah, exactly. And
but fair play, your man actually showed a lot of heart because he took some big
shots. And like, I've sparred Brandon, I'm heavier than Brandon, and this guy was the same way as Brandon. And like, Brandon hits hard.
Yeah.
Brandon hits very, very hard. And like, if he lands a body shot, and his pace is so... He puts on such a pace. Like, if he hits you to the body, he hits you to the head. It's like, even if you're blocking the center, it's kind of like you hit harder than Brandon, absolutely. But Brandon hits bloody hard.
He hits
with
more
volume.
Often.
Yeah.
Do you get me? I'll hit you 10 times, he'll hit you 50 times.
Yeah.
Maybe 90% is as powerful,
yeah,
but there's a lot more volume.
Exactly. And so Brandon was like putting that guy to shame. And he still lost, and he'd come back. And he told everyone in the gym and all that he was going for this fight, and everyone's riding behind him. And even like, the worst thing you have to do is like, after you go fight, is tell everyone, like, oh, how'd you get on?
Yeah, so it's so deflating.
Yeah,
but for me, the guys, my advice to white collar guys is, listen, from our perspective, your coaches, apart from anybody else, will be 110% proud of you. Because these are just regular people.
Yes,
regular people stepping way outside the comfort zone. A lot of them, you know, and taking on this huge challenge. Not only the challenge of the night, but it's like, remember, like, these guys will have all put in 40 plus training sessions in the run up to this, and just a 10, just like 2.5 months coming up to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of them have been training a lot longer now, and people have been, you know, people like Marco started their journey, you know, a year or 2 years ago, you know what I mean? Like, hundreds of pounds have been lost to kind of build the confidence to get them into that ring.
Because that's a massive thing, confidence.
It's
like,
huge. It's one thing that I think you can't really prepare for as well.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the differentiator. You only see somebody who's really good in sparring, really good in training, and then the difference is on the night, how do you handle the nerves?
Yeah.
You know, how do you communicate that experience?
Here's what happens, okay? They go into the fight, okay, they're super jacked up, they're pumped, they're banging the gloves, whatever it is, or they're really introverted and nervous and they don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The guy who's super jacked and pumped, usually what happens with him, he has a good first round and he gets the adrenal dump.
Fades. Yeah.
And then just fades after that. And I seen that last year. I don't want to name names or whatever, but I've seen that happen a few times last year in the white collar. So like, this year I'm trying to prepare the fighters, like, be aware of this, like, excitement and adrenaline dump. Visualize as much as you can to get yourself used to it. Like, do you find yourself visualizing, Joe, like, for a fight, building up to it, walking out, do you get goosebumps?
We actually talked about this, we done the podcast episode 3, I think it was titled Are You Ready to Rumble. We were talking a little bit about Brandon and Niall about kind of their kind of strategy to battle anxiety and stuff.
Ah, yes.
Before the fights. And one of the things touched on was visualization. And
yeah,
I was saying, like, you can fight the fight 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times before fighting, if you want, if you have the discipline to do so. It seems a great idea saying to you now, but it's like, I said to the lads, you know, like, close your eyes, visualize you're in the changing room, that you can hear the crowd outside, you're putting on your shorts.
Goosebumps even just thinking about it.
That's exactly what the boy said. You know, you're putting on your vest, you're walking out, you're getting in the ring, visualize the punch you're going to throw. It's like McGregor.
Yeah, that's all
he said. He said what he said. He literally said the exact same punch
before he knocked that out.
And he done it.
There's something to it.
I don't know what it is, but there's something to it. You know,
guys,
to positive affirmation, self-talk.
Self-talk. But here, what would you say to someone who doesn't? Actually, before that, guys, yeah, the McGregor thing. If you go to YouTube and look up McGregor backstage or in the change rooms before he fights Aldo, and just look that up. You'll see they put the video of McGregor knocking out Aldo, and then after it they showed a video of McGregor in the change room, and he's doing literally the exact same step back slip counter left. Now wait, here's the sad. I know I'll keep getting sidetracked, but here's the sad part about the Aldo thing. Aldo knew he was doing that, so he faked the right hand. So McGregor was countering a right hand from Aldo, and Aldo loaded up, you can see, but faked it and threw a lead hook instead. But he still went straight into the left hand and knocked him out. So if you look, if you ever watch that fight again, it's only 13 seconds long. But if you ever watch that fight, Aldo lands a really, really nice lead hook on McGregor and cuts McGregor. So
In that first 13 seconds, the boat connect,
he went down. So I would love to see that fight again, like to run it again, because I think Aldo was incredibly unfortunate, and I really think if he gave another go, it would be a really good fight.
That's one thing about MMA, I feel like it's just one of these things where something can happen. Because yeah, there's so many variables. There's kicks, head, like elbows, goes to the ground. Like, it's just so hard to predict in a lot of cases. Cool, so we're going to wrap it up now, but before we go, I want predictions. So we've got three big fights coming up. We got Anthony Joshua and Povetkin tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We have McGregor and Khabib coming up, and then we also have... What are our fights? Is it just two fights?
I think it's just two.
Is there another fight? There's definitely a big fight coming up, but we'll go with these two. So predictions for both.
Well, I don't really know the guy Anthony Joshua is fighting. Povetkin. I don't really know him, but I'm going to side with Joshua because I really like Joshua's attitude.
Yeah.
That's all. And then for the Khabib McGregor,
you're going to stick with your...
I'm going to stick with it. I want McGregor to win. Do you get me? I really do. As much as I love Khabib, because I do have massive respect for Khabib. But,
and you still have as much respect for McGregor, even though the kind of way he's kind of...
Look, yeah, here's my take on that, okay?
Just an act, just putting on, sell tickets.
No, not only that, I think it is who he is as well. Like, you remember, this is a kid from Dublin, do you get me? Like, from a rough part of Dublin as well. And it's like, he's given fucking 150 million, or even whatever his money is. Do you get me? Like, money makes you more of who you are. That's the thing. People think when you get money, you're going to just be like a rock star, you're going to live perfectly. It's like, no. It's like, if you give a cocaine addict... to 100,000, he's dead next week.
Yeah.
He's dead because he's just, that's all he's doing. Do you get me? It's like McGregor was a hard kid from Crumlin or whatever, and he's killing people in the cage. Whatever. He's a lot. You can see from his early fights, he's just a lot of pent up aggression, and now he's just being himself. And it's like, that's the number one thing. Just be. Everyone always says, be true to who you are,
be
McGregor,
authentic.
And that's who McGregor is. And it's like, and people don't like it. It's like, fair enough. Do you get me? But at the same time,
do you feel it is 100% authentic?
No, obviously it's exaggerated. It's exaggerated as well, but it's exaggerated him. Do you get me? And he knows what the crowd likes. And on top of that, the more wild he is, the more he gets paid. Do you get me? And the more stuff he can buy for his son and his wife. And it's like, and I don't think people take that into consideration. It's like, oh, he's being a bit of a hooligan. He's not representing Ireland and all that stuff very well. It's like,
because I was talking this with somebody the other day, and they were talking about, you know, do you not think he's a really poor role model?
Well, it's like, it depends how you define role model. And even at that, I wouldn't say he calls himself a role model, but I think he's doing a great job. Like, he's doing all this stuff, but if you can separate the WWE stuff from his fight, and if you ever see when he's actually talking to the fighters after the fight,
when he's nothing but respect,
and when he loses, nothing but humble. Do you get me? It's like, and that's how you really should be. He is a martial artist at the end of the day, and I think he really is.
Yeah, and from my perspective, when I see him in, you know, different videos on YouTube, different clips of kind of talk, like, he really is all about, you know, empowering people and, you know, trying to get people to believe in themselves.
Yeah, that's one of the big things. It's like, you know, and I think the reason his trash talk is so good is because he knows people. Like, he knows how people react. He knows what the weaknesses are. But I think, but the only reason you know the weaknesses like that is because you've had to eliminate them yourself.
Exactly, he's mastered his own
weaknesses. Like, one thing that I noticed myself, and this is why I like Jordan Peterson's psychology and all so much, because the more you learn about yourself, the more you learn about other people.
True.
And it's like, and I think McGregor has done a lot of, like, self-analyzing, and he knows how to be a winner. He knows how to be, you know, like, the alpha male. Do you get me? He knows how to bully people around. He knows what people are insecure about. He knows, like, with Khabib, the first thing he mentioned was, you know, his brother, his family, and the money coming in and all that jazz, saying, like, he knew that, like, you could just read that, like, Khabib's not all about the money.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you can say that his ego's attached to that. It's like, people say they have no ego. It's like, that's a lie. Do you get me? Everyone has an ego. It's attached to something. It's attached to not having an ego.
Yeah,
do you get me? But like, he knew what he wasn't attached to the money or whatever it was, but then the money comes in and it's gone. Like, that's one of the first things he talks about, sort of family or the bloodline. Do you remember he was like, oh, your people were pushed to the edge.
Yeah.
It was like, in Dagestan, like, the warriors there, do you get me? They're tough people. And it's like, when you call them out and saying that, it's like, He knows how to break people down. Yeah,
she's fucking wrestling bears, man.
Yeah, exactly. But if you look at Khabib's Instagram, it's like there's a picture of like one of his friends who's like nearly disemboweled. Do you get me?
From a sword fight?
No, not from... No, because he was messing with some people he shouldn't have been messing with.
Okay.
Do you get me? And it's like some people coming after for money or something. I don't know what the full story is, but it's like Joe Rogan was talking about it once. That's how I heard about it. And yeah. I looked it up. It's legit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you're going to go with Anthony Joshua and...
Khabib. And that was a pretty tangent there.
And who? Sorry, McGregor.
McGregor, yeah.
Knockout.
First round. I'm going to say first round. Oh, here's... Right, I have two predictions. All right, it's going to go knockout first round or Khabib's going to take him down and fucking... Kill him and just demoralize him in the McGregor ban, right? Like, if Khabib gets McGregor down, I think it's like going to be so demoralizing for the McGregor bandwagon that like I don't know how McGregor's going to be able to like come back. Do you get me?
I think he might go into boxing.
Yeah, I think he'll have to, even though he signed a 6-fight contract.
Oh, did he?
Hear that? Do you hear about it? He's also like proper 12 is going to be on the cage canvas.
Yeah, I seen that. Yeah, see what he got Dana White to say it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's gone mad with power.
But, like, you would. I know. You would. Like, again.
It's like he runs the UFC. It's like Dana White's.
Think about
bitch.
It this way. Like, everyone always, like, if you go back to school, do you get me? Everyone knows, like, you're the cheeky kid in class, you know, just thinks they're all this and all that. It's like, that's kind of what McGregor is, just giving lots of money and learns how to be an incredible fighter. It's like, it just gives him permission to be exactly who he is. Do you get me? It's like,
that's pretty cool. And then so my predictions would be, I'd obviously, you can't back against Joshua. I feel like the hype train's behind him. I think maybe Povetkin's just slightly over the hill. Although I think he's going to give him a good fight. I don't think it's going to be as easy as he thinks. I think this could be a more difficult fight than Klitschko.
Mm.
And then McGregor, Khabib.
Or Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder?
I don't know. I think Tyson Fury will box ahead of him for maybe 4 or 6 rounds. And I think...
Is going to land.
I think Wilder will wear him down and just land bombs. Maybe I think he's going to stop him in the 9-10 round, maybe. Because Wilder fought a guy called Ortiz. Nearly sure it's Ortiz, Cuban guy, really really good boxer. But again, somebody just over the hill. But he boxed the head off Wilder for 6-8 rounds, and then just got knocked out.
That's
just
the worst.
Yeah, just got caught one time too many, and just kind of the legs went and then. He was on him. He's so athletic, and he's got a really good finish. He's like a windmill, but
when I watched Deontay Wilder fight, I was like, is he a boxer?
Yeah, so like bad. So bad technique as well. But I think he was American footballer until he was like maybe 19 or something, and then he started boxing.
Bloody hell.
And same with Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua, he picked up boxing pretty late on too.
Yeah, yeah.
He was only boxing like 2-3 years, and he was an Olympic gold medalist.
One of the things I used to...
But another one on that is like, I watched that fight, and Anthony Joshua did not win that Olympic gold medal, man. Yeah. That Russian guy won that fight.
Yeah.
But it was just the London Olympics.
Remember Kenny Egan in Beijing?
Oh, that's against the Chinese guy.
Yeah. It's like, why is that home thing?
What about the worst one? The worst one of all time is Roy Jones Jr. in Seoul, Korea.
I don't remember that.
Oh, man, you should Google that. That is literally, to date, the biggest robbery I've ever seen in a ring. Like,
Michael Conlon as well. Remember him going, fuck you, all the guys. I love Mike. I think he's so cool. Yeah, I remember once I was finding a show up in Uri, and he was just getting changed here, and he walked by me, and I remember he walked like right by me. This is before he got the Olympics round, and I just felt like a weird sort of like presence about him. It was weird. Yeah. I don't believe in all that stuff. Around,
like
I
an air of confidence. Or
yeah. He still had the tattoo, you know, the
rose rubies, whatever. Yeah,
cool. He was so small. I remember being so small, but I remember at the show he sparred like three of the, or he fought three of the Irish guys like one after the other for the
on
the,
that show.
Not they weren't senior. Do you get me? There were like the
younger kids
or something like that there.
He was taking them around
like one after the other, and that was like the main event of the night.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, he was a Jeep still back then. What hell? I think I was 18 then.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, man, how are you feeling for your fights coming up?
Hey, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I'm nervous because...
Kind of the holiday kind of broke your training camp up.
Yeah, we're on about my training, and I mentioned Zach teaching me how to skate, but the reason I stopped, I trained every day for the first few weeks, but the reason I stopped, I was on the half pipe. And the board just shot out, and I fell back, hit my head, hit my my back, like my lower back, and hit my elbow. I still have cuts on my elbow there, but it's healing up fine. But my back is still really sore. Like even now, like if I was to do a single leg deadlift, jump my left leg, and come down, I'd be fine. Yeah, but if I do it my right leg, like I just can't do it. I literally can't. It's really, really painful. So I didn't train anything after that.
Get to physio, man.
Yeah.
Get to physio.
But it's getting better. But I'm worried. It's still pretty swollen. Still, and that happened like the second weekend, and it's like, or the first weekend in my holiday, so it's a week there and it's still sore.
So we give it another couple of days, maybe try again Monday.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna hit the bags or something like that as well.
Yeah,
but
Cool. All right, Chris. Well, good to have you home.
It's good to be back, Steve.
Thank you. All right, guys. Now we're listening. If anyone would like to come down to Fighting Fit Tricep 1 week for free, go to www.fightingfitnation.com. We've got a 1 week free trial there. And if anybody wants tickets to the White Collar Show, get in touch with myself and any of the fighters. It's guaranteed going to be a sellout, so get your tickets early.
Boom.